Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that went down Aaron's skirts, down to his garments, as the dew upon Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing evermore. Well, folks, I've been doing this 69 years, but I've never sat down to do it, so bear with me. I have a bad back. It's better to have a bad back than to have a bad head or a bad heart, and I'm glad it's just the back. But today's lesson is number 6 in this series, Forgive One Another. The basic passage of Scripture is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. And I'm going to read that. And you know, when we open the Bible, tell me what it does. Opens the mind of God. You've been listening. And I'm glad that we have God's mind in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. And by the way, every time you open your book, your Bible, remember this. Since the days of our Lord Jesus, there have been over 70 million martyrs. Most of them have been because of their faith in the inspiration of the Word of God. I've been for many years, every time I open my devotions in the morning, I thank God for those martyrs who gave their lives to copy this book, to preserve it, to bring it to us in our own language. Don't ever take that for granted. Thank God for those people. And by the way, as we hold it in our hand or in our laps this morning, multiplied billions of people have never seen a Bible. They've never had a page from the Bible, nor a verse in their own language. I thought for many years that I might get the opportunity to translate the Bible. I appreciate Brother Bill Patterson. Speaks in 6 or 7 languages and is translating the Bible. That's a wonderful ministry because so many people don't have it in their language today. So don't take for granted that you have it in English and that you can read it and heed it and hide it and hold it forth. After I pray, I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Have your Bible open to that place. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for thy kindness. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for those who gave their lives in martyrdom to bring it to us that we might enjoy it, be blessed by it, and see the way to thee through the Scriptures. May we never take that for granted. And I pray that as we open the book, your mind is open to us. Show us what we need to know and learn in this lesson today. Bless these special needs and requests and every person that's in attendance today and those who would love to be here but who cannot be because of illness or problems or trials or difficulties that are best known to thee. May it be so is our prayer in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31. Let all bitterness, notice that word all of it, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. There it is, the topic of our lesson, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I'm going to give you the outline first. And my wife told me the last time I gave it too fast and you couldn't write that fast. So write it in shorthand or make some abbreviations. There are no long words to start with. But let's look at number 1, our need to receive forgiveness. Just write down the word receive and you're well on the way. Under that is capital A. Personally. That means our person, our individual persons. And then B under that, on the next page you turn over, is spiritually. So you have personally and you have spiritually, A and B. Number two, our need to give forgiveness. Write the word give in that blank. And why is that so? A, because God calls us to forgive. God calls us to forgive. And B, and I like this, because forgiveness brings healing. And you have some benefits that are listed there for forgiving. The Mayo Clinic listed those. I'm not going to read those out. You can read them. But forgiveness brings healing. And then C, because God enables us to forgive. We could not forgive were it not for the grace of God. So God enables us to forgive. And C, or number three, our way to obtain forgiveness. Just write the word way in that blank. And A, it comes from God. Everything comes from God, by the way. Our life in Him, we live and move and have our being. Without Him, apart from Him, we're nothing. Remember what Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So our way to obtain forgiveness is from God. And B, it's through Christ. From God and through Christ. So we have the outline, the blanks have been filled in, and we'll try to follow them and get some things from them as we go along. Now, the book of Ephesians is one of Paul's, in fact, it's the first of Paul's prison epistles. You know, a lot of good literary works have come out of prison. Paradise Lost, for example, John Milton, many others. But Paul's prison epistles, this is number one. It was written from his prison in Rome about the year 64 A.D. Remember what he said? Let all, keep that word all in mind. You know, sometimes we want to forgive partially. We want to remove some things out of our lives partially. But Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind. I notice these signs along, I know in our area in Burleson, kindness matters, and it does. Anybody can be kind, and anybody can be kind to anybody if you have the grace of God in your heart. Be kind one to another with a tender heart, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the central plank in the platform of Christianity is forgiveness. The whole structure of Christianity is built on forgiveness. God forgave, and God continues to forgive, so we forgive, and we continue to forgive. That's what Christianity is all about, is forgiving. Forgiving one another. The greatest gift, someone said, the greatest gift in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, was forgiveness. Because, now watch this, that's what a guilty world needs most. There are 7.5 or 8 billion people on planet Earth today. There's not one that does not need forgiveness. There's not one who hasn't sinned. Listen to what the wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. There's not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did I hear someone say, boy, I know somebody that needs this lesson this morning? Well, folks, let me tell you, we're not talking about somebody. We're talking about you and me. We're not talking about somebody that's not here. But we're talking about those of us who are here today. We need it. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need this lesson this morning. This lesson has your name and mine on it, forgiving one another. Remember that little ditty that goes, not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of forgiveness. We all need to be forgiven. We all need to look in the mirror of God's word and see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see the sins that we need to confess. You know, those secret sins, those respectable sins we think nobody else knows about, or that it wouldn't matter if they did. You remember what Moses prayed in Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses in verse 8? Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So God sees all. God knows all. God is already here. He didn't have to come upon us. He's already here in the person of his Son and in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is with us. Psalm 69 and verse 5. Don't miss this. The psalmist wrote, my sins are not hid from thee. We may hide our sins from our spouse, from our children, from our parents, from our pastor, from our neighbors, from our friends, from our co-workers, but we cannot hide our sins from God. Someone prayed this prayer, and you've heard it, but it fits so wonderfully well here. Dear Lord, so far today, I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I've not whined, complained, or cursed. Now, as I prepare to get out of bed this morning, I need your help more than ever before. Wow. I guess if we stayed in bed long enough, we wouldn't do any of those things. But we have to learn to forgive, folks. Our text admonishes us to forgive one another. To forgive is to pardon. It's to show unmerited, undeserved favor to the person who has wronged us. Now, we're looking in the outline. Look at number one, our need to receive forgiveness. And under that is personally. Everyone in this room at one time or another needs to receive forgiveness because we've all sinned against a family member, against a neighbor, against a friend, against a co-worker. Someone said, he who cannot or will not forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself, for every man has need to be forgiven. Now, Paul gives us a list under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't just dream these things up in verse 31. The list of emotions that we express toward others. Paul tells us to put them away. That literally means to bury them out of sight. And by the way, it's forgive and forget. Somebody said, well, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. No, you haven't forgiven. By the way, when you bury the hatchet, don't leave the handle sticking out of the ground. Forgive and forget. You know, God said he would forget. Didn't he tell us? I will remember their sins against them no more. If God, listen, folks, if God, the mighty God, the righteous God, the holy God, the true God, the omnipotent God, the supreme and sovereign one, creator of the universe, creator of mankind, if he is willing to forgive us and forget our sins, we should be willing as well to forgive and to forget. Bitterness, wrath, we all know what these mean. Anger. Someone said, a reasonable person is seldom angry, and an angry person is seldom reasonable. Think about that. A reasonable person is seldom angry, and an angry person is seldom reasonable. Put the clamor, the loud noises away. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 22 at verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Don't even keep company with somebody who is continually, always angry, because it's likely to rub off on you. Anger breeds anger, so be careful with whom you go and with whom you party and with whom you have companionship. He says, put away that evil speaking. Evil speaking, that's slander. It's really gossip. When three women are talking, that's conversation. When one walks away, it becomes gossip. Think about that, ladies. You men, think about that too. Three women talking, conversation. One walks away, it becomes gossip. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, may have been me. He who gossips to you will gossip about you. You know, garbage in, garbage out. By the way, I want you to listen very carefully to this statement. If you listen to the gossip that comes to you and you feed off of it, you're just as guilty as the person who's doing the gossiping. I read somewhere that there are two types of people that ought to be hanged. Or is it hung? Either one. Hanged or hung? Depends on what part of the country you're from, I guess. But anyway, this person said, there are a lot of people ought to be hanged by the tongue, and a lot of people ought to be hanged by the ear. Which is it with you? Are you talking too much? By the way, if you talk enough, you're going to say something you're sorry you said if you talk to. So, you know, you don't have to talk all the time. Be quiet once in a while. Let somebody else talk. The only way you can learn is by listening. That's the reason some people don't know anything. They out-talk everybody. They don't ever learn anything. Okay? That's our personal things that we need to put away. Anger and clamor and evil speaking, all of that. Now, the spiritually, be under that spiritually. Romans 3:23 is right there on the page for you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? There are no exceptions, no exclusions, no exemptions, no kidding. Everybody, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:10, it's there on your page too. For if when we were enemies, now remember, we're born enemies of God. We're not born saved. We're born sinners. By nature, we're sinners. For if when we were enemies, we were, watch this word, reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. Now watch this. That means preserved or kept saved by his life. You see, when Jesus saved us, he didn't just throw us to the wind and say, do the best you can. He's with us, and in the person of the Holy Spirit, he's within us. But his work continues beyond the cross. Remember, he ascended back to the right hand of God, where he is there as I speak, making intercession for you and me. He keeps us saved. He keeps on saving us, quote unquote, preserving us. Hebrews 7:25, our great high priest at the right hand of God. Listen to what Paul wrote in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Why is Jesus at the right hand of God? What is he doing there? He's not just passing away the centuries. He's there to make intercession for you and me. Now, I like that word reconciled. It means to be called back into union. I suppose one of the clearest examples would be like a husband and wife that have been at each other. You ever been at your wife? Don't drop your head now. You ever been at your husband? Have you ever been kind of drifted apart and somebody, a counselor? By the way, Don't go to an ungodly counselor to get godly wisdom and godly counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Go to a godly counselor, pastor, or a staff member, or a fellow Christian to get counsel from them. When someone steps in between two, be careful how you do that too. If they're kind of mad at each other, they may take it out on you. I'll never forget, when I was in high school, my two best buddies were Charles Stanley and Clifton Hughes. One day, and best friends can do this, Charles and I got into a little spat, had a tremendous disagreement, and our best friend stepped in between us, and both of us jumped on him, knocked him down, and broke his wrist. So be careful how you step in between a husband and wife, especially. But anyway, be careful how you become the intercessor, the mediator between two people that are but reconcile. We're reconciled to God. How? By Jesus Christ. We are the only ones that need reconciling. Listen to what Paul wrote. This is two of the most powerful verses in all the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And Paul goes on to say, and hath committed unto us the word or the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Every person in this room who is a saved person is an ambassador for Christ. And what does an ambassador do? An ambassador serves like an ambassador from our country, goes to a foreign country, serves the country. As ambassadors for Christ, we stand in his stead. That's what Paul said. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's our ministry today, a part of our ministry, is getting others reconciled to God. Now we go to number two, our need to give forgiveness. Give forgiveness. We said A, because God calls us to forgive. Literally, he commands us. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written. By the way, you cannot erase what's been written in God's word. It has been written, it is written, it forever shall be written. It is written. Vengeance, this is God speaking, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And verse 21, be not overcome evil of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I know somebody's going to say, well, how can I do that? Well, go back to the verse between 19 and 21. It's verse 20 in Romans 12. You're looking at it? Romans 12 and verse 20. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. Wow. Some of us won't feed our friends. Remember what Jesus said? Love your enemies. Many of us can't even get along with our friends. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That'll bring him down. That's what Paul is saying here. You'll bring your enemy down if you feed him, if he's hungry. If you give him something to drink, if he's thirsty, it puts hot coals upon his head. Brings him down. So we're commanded of God. Now you may be asking, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive her?
How many times am I supposed to forgive him? Guess what? You just joined Peter's club. That's exactly what Peter asked Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, where Peter came to Jesus one day, Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter, it's there on your lesson. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Actually, the rabbis said three times. You don't have to give but more than three times. That's what the Jewish law said, three times. But Peter thought he'd have a little leeway there, and so he said, do I need to give that person that's wronged me seven times? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 22. Then Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, the number seven in the scripture is the number of infinity, the number of divine completeness. So Jesus said, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. Now, I'm not too good on math. Will somebody help me with this? Gary, will you help me? 700, right? 7 7 is 49, right? Does that mean 490 times? Wow. 490 times? Some of you are counting. Oh, 87. Oh, 88. 489. 490, and I'm going after him. No, 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 no. If you're counting, you're not forgiving. It's an infinite number of times. Suppose God stopped at seven times. Well, we'd all be in bad shape, wouldn't we? But God just keeps on forgiving. How many times have we gone to God? I don't know about you, but I have to go to God every day and ask him, forgive me of something. I may have a wrong thought about somebody. I may do something I ought not to do or say something I ought not to say, and I have to ask God to forgive me. And I'm 87 years old, and I've been doing that since I was saved at 11. I've been saved 76 years, and I've been asking God, please, God, forgive me. I know I'm wrong. Now, if you don't feel the need of that, you've got a real problem. You ought to ask God to help you solve your problem to start with, and then he'll help you forgive. Let me say it again. If you're counting, you're not forgiving. Now, the B under that number is because forgiveness brings healing. The great example in the Old Testament, it's right there on your outline, your sheet, is Joseph and his brothers. You remember what Joseph's brothers did to him? They killed an animal, soaked his coat of many colors in the blood of the animal, sent it to their father to tell him his dear son Joseph has been killed by an animal or somebody. And they threw him in a pit and finally brought him out and sold him to the Midianites, and finally they took him down into Egypt, and you know the rest of that story. And when the brothers came, this is a beautiful story. This is so much like Jesus. By the way, Joseph is the greatest figure in the Old Testament that's a type of Jesus Christ. When his brothers came, now that their father's dead, they thought, uh-oh, Joseph is going to really throw it to us now. No, no, no. When they said to Joseph, we're your brothers. Our father, Jacob, you know who we are. And the Bible said Joseph had to turn around from them and weep audibly, but he forgave them. Remember, he gave Benjamin 30 suits and 5 helpings of food. He loved his brothers like Jesus loves us and forgives us of every sin we've ever committed. All the benefits, they're listed from the Mayo Clinic right there. I looked at one of them down there that says lower blood pressure. If you want to lower your blood pressure, learn how to forgive. Improve mental health. Heart health. A lot of benefits in forgiving. Now, not only because God commands it, not only because of the benefits, but see, because God enables us to forgive. Verse 32, forgiving one another. And here's the key to it all. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God, now listen to this, God, for Christ's sake, for the sake of his own Son, who died to forgive us, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, we should be willing to forgive others because God was and God is willing to forgive. By the way, what did Jesus say about forgiveness? I'll give it to you from Mark. You may want to make a note of this. It's not on the lesson sheet. Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. By the way, you know already that Jesus is the greatest authority the world has ever known. Here's what he said in Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But, I'm still quoting Jesus, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. What does that mean? Folks, that means exactly what it says. You don't need a Greek lexicon. You don't need a noted, learned theologian to tell you what that means. It simply means if you are not willing to forgive the person who slighted you, slandered you, hurt you, injured you, talked about you, insulted you, walked away from you, if you are not willing to forgive that person, don't even pray, because God is not going to forgive you. I'm quoting Jesus. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. That's what Jesus said. If you do not forgive the one who has wronged you, God will not forgive you. Wow. The only way for us to be forgiven is to forgive. Now, the last part, number three, our way to obtain forgiveness. How do we obtain forgiveness? A, from God. There's absolute assurance, don't miss this, that God is ready at all times to forgive. The verse is there on your lesson outline. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good. Isn't God good, ladies and gentlemen? You knew that before I read it to you. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Wow. God, here's the way we obtain forgiveness from God. And we obtain it through Jesus Christ. The cross is the place of redemption. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God forgives us through Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection guarantees us forgiveness. And Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, our forgiveness comes from God through Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He is our way to God. The most classic example in all the history of mankind is the picture of Jesus on the cross. You know, Jesus had seven sayings from the cross. Guess what the first one was? Maybe you know. Jesus didn't look down from the cross and say, "You dirty bums, you having your heyday, but one of these days the wrath of God's going to..." I'm talking about the people that were crucifying. No, he didn't say that. He prayed to the Father. First saying from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, if we'd get that spirit in us, we could reap all those benefits that we just saw a while ago. Better blood pressure, better mental health, better heart health. All of these things would come to us when we get the spirit of forgiveness, which is the spirit of Christ, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of God within us. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray we will never forget the price that he paid to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless us as we go into the preaching hour and the worship service to your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, and God bless you.